God is in the house this morning, just want to give themselves away.
Hallelujah.
Bless the name of Jesus this morning. He is the one true and living God.
Yeah.
He is the great I am.
Yes, he is.
And he made us for his good pleasure. I'm glad to be in the house this morning. Glad to be in the number this morning. Yet one more time.
Amen.
Happy to see that the sun is shining.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We've had some rainy days this past week, but hallelujah, it was nothing like what the people had to endure with the storm.
Amen.
So we'll take our complaints and put them away. Hallelujah to Jesus this morning. You know that we are continuing today the second part of our series, When God Does the Unexpected, that we started on last week. And you have certainly heard the scripture that Reverend Veronica read in your hearing. I know that it is a story that we all have heard many times before. So I ask the Lord to give me fresh eyes, fresh insight. Truly a fresh anointing to preach his word.
Amen.
On this day that he has already anointed and appointed.
Amen.
So let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for life, for health, for strength, as you have imparted so graciously unto your people. God, we thank you for this opportunity that we might come before you and preach your word to this, thy waiting congregation. I ask, oh God, that you would just move me out of the way, oh God, and that you would take control of it all. Preach and teach through me, oh God, that people may know that you are in the building. I thank you right now, God, for standing me up, girding up my loins that I may come at this moment, speaking to the hearts of your people. Now, oh God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, that it be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. And all the people just shouted amen.
Yeah.
And amen. You all may recall on last week, those of you who were here in our hearing on last Sunday, that Pastor Keith and I preached part one of the series concerning When God Does the Unexpected. Now, what we also know is that those unexpected things can go one way or another. And so Pastor Keith posed the question to the congregation. He said, when God does something unexpected in your life, does it catch you off guard? Then he asked the question, Reverend Veronica, does it make you happy or sad?
Go ahead.
And the church almost unanimously said in an overwhelming response, it all depends.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And then, of course, it became my job to take a minute to open up the text about the story of Lazarus dying while Jesus was out of town. And so I want to take a few minutes and do a little bit of a rewind, and so we can catch everybody up on what we tried to share last week and move into the text that we just read today. So here we find Lazarus' sisters has sent the message to Jesus that their brother and his good friend was sick. The Bible says that when Jesus heard the message, he made this statement that he might be sick, but it's not unto death. But as the story goes, we learn that Jesus took his sweet time getting back to see about his friend. And by the time he did get back, it appeared that it was already too late. Lazarus had already been dead now for 4 days. I shared with you on last Sunday morning that there were four things that I thought were lessons or something that we could take away from the text. The first thing I shared was that Jesus had a history of doing the unexpected.
Amen.
There are many examples in God's word that tells us how Jesus showed up, how he showed out, and he blessed those around him in very unexpected ways.
Amen.
The second thing I shared is that when God does the unexpected, we better know it's going to be for his glory before our good. I got any old co-signers in the house?
Amen.
You see, we have come to know that God's glory, I told you this, is a deeply stabilizing force in an unsteady world.
Amen.
Remember, when God does something for our good, that it doesn't always mean that it's going to make us glad.
Amen.
But it means his actions are needed to help us to grow us spiritually and to increase our ability to become more like him. I think that's something good for us. The third thing I shared was that when God does the unexpected, it's deeper than it looks. Jesus had to break the news to his disciples that Lazarus was already dead. And that was bad enough, but to add insult to injury, Jesus tells his disciples, for your sakes, I'm glad I was out of town. They didn't get that, that went over their head. I know that it sounds contradictory to the Jesus that we learned about in Sunday school, but his point was because he wasn't there, it was a perfect opportunity for him to show up later in an unexpected way, in an unanticipated way, and in an unimaginable way, so that they would believe.
Go ahead.
And my final lesson that I shared was when Christ and culture collide, expect the unexpected. You see, whenever the culture collides with or bumps into Jesus, it creates a tension between our faith and the values of the culture in which the followers live. Jesus always, always challenged the cultural norms. He did it then, and he's still doing it today.
Amen.
And so as we move through the story, we should expect to witness a few more unexpected things. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You see, in the verses that were read, verses 38 through 44, it really, in that piece of the story, brings it all to a climax. As we move through the verses, I'm going to point out what I call the triple A in the text. Somebody said
right.
Triple A.
Triple A.
You see, this thing, I know when somebody says triple A, our minds can readily go to the triple A coverage that many of us have. Amen, somebody.
Right, amen.
You know, when your car breaks down, or when your battery is dead, when you just can't seem to get off the side of the road, you call the triple A people. Those are the American Automobile Association people. And when you call them, they first of all, they want to know if you are in a safe place. I give them that. All right? And then they will send help to get you where you need to be, or get your car where you need to be. But this morning, I got a AAA for you, but I got something just a little bit different than that kind of a AAA. And I'm going to give you my A's before I get into the text. The first A I'm going to tell you stands for the arrival at the tomb. The second A is for the acknowledging of his intentional delay. And the third A is the awakening of Lazarus. You see, all of these things that happened were unexpected, hallelujah to Jesus, to the people who were attending the funeral. And so as we drop our eyes on verses 38 and 39 in the text, I told you that my first A was arrival, or the arrival at the tomb. But before we get there, can I back it up just a little bit and take a look back in the text? Because there we find that Jesus, Mary, and Martha have already had a discussion about getting there too late. Yes, they did. They both have had a private conversation letting them know that if only he had a been there, that they wouldn't be feeling this pain. Anybody ever told God, if only you had done something, I wouldn't be hurting like I am. If only he had answered his text messages and turned himself around and headed to see about Lazarus, he could have prevented all of this in the first place. Well, somebody knows something about telling somebody, if only you had done what you supposed to do, I wouldn't be in the predicament that I'm in. You see, the brother was dead. The brother was dead, and then looked like there was nothing that could be done about it. But I'm going to give you a special note, Pastor Keith, a special note here, that even with all of this, Martha, that's Jesus, knows that she believes that he is who he says he is. And she knows that this man has been sent by God. But let me set the stage for you, because now that Jesus is back in town and he's already talked to Mary and Martha about the situation, we got to keep the train rolling, because by now the mourners have already gathered. They've already been sitting in their house. The weeping and the wailing is already in progress. The fried chicken, potato salad, string beans, the cake, and the iced tea has already been prepared and is ready to be served. Oh, you know you can't turn it off when you get the chicken in the house. Amen, somebody. We got to go through with this. But now, in those days, the dead were not buried at the synagogue cemetery. You all pass churches and you see all kind of tombstones and all like that. They didn't do it like that. The people, when they died, when people were buried, they were buried outside of the village limits. They weren't buried in the backyard or around the synagogue. So Jesus asked the question, where did you lay? I have to laugh when I see that, because it's not like he's asking them because he doesn't know, right? Amen, somebody. He said, just show me where he is. And so now they are processing to the tomb. You see, the walk to the tomb gave them time to get some stuff off their chest. It gave the spectators time to discuss how Jesus was weeping. They thought that he was crying tears of sadness that his friend was no longer with them, but that wasn't the case. They had time to analyze that if Jesus could heal the blind, then why in the world did he not save Lazarus from dying? See, these are the kinds of things we do when we walk in somewhere. Hallelujah. But as they arrive at the tomb, there is a stone, S-T-O-N-E, y'all watch me now, in front of the cave where Lazarus is laying, there is a stone. And Jesus says to the men, roll the stone stone. Wait a minute. Wait just a cotton picking minute.
Go ahead.
That sounds familiar to me. Here is a stone in front of. My brothers and sisters, how many times have you walked out your problems and your burdens and your situations and your bad circumstances to the tombs that you have created in your mind?
Go ahead.
Jesus.
We can see it when we got a bad situation. Or we can see the stone rolled over the door, never to be opened again. But when we arrive at the tomb, when we arrive at the tomb, we find that God does something unexpected, like rolling the stone out of your way. And then we can testify, and what becomes theme song is that he is a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, and he's a light in the darkness. That is who he is. The stone had been moved out of the way. The second thing, my second A is acknowledging his intentional delay. I know. God news. It's hard, Reverend Jay, for us to wrap our heads around the idea that Jesus would show up late on purpose.
Go ahead. Say it. Go ahead.
That don't sound right. I must be a misprint in my Bible. I don't know. I don't know. This doesn't sound right. See, we could understand it if we knew he had something else bigger he was attending to. Amen? We might even could get over it, Reverend Veronica. If Jesus was held up praying for somebody's situation. But to come late on purpose in the world, that seems a bit out of character to me. Because see, when I hear that he is late for Lazarus and he doesn't get there in time to heal him while he's sick, I hear Dottie Peoples ringing in my ear 100 million times telling me that he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. But, my brothers and sisters, check it out. When you get to verses 40 to 42, Jesus is doing something unexpected in the sight of those who were in the crowd, and to show them that he was who he did it so that they would believe. What am I telling you? That there's always some reason.
Go ahead.
If you feel like he didn't show up on time. You see, sometimes it seems like God is late. Sometimes it seems like he's quiet or silent in our situations. But he does it so we can demonstrate our faith in him by the actions we take.
Amen. Amen.
He could have showed up on time.
Yeah.
He could have taken Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and they could have gone in the back room. Hallelujah to Jesus. And he could have done a private healing ceremony. He could have laid his hands on him, or he could have prayed over him. He could have done all of that in private. But if he had done it that way, the impact would have been just on a few people who already believed. But every now and then, God has got to show. Somebody said, "Come, sometime God needs to throw his weight around out and show people just who he is." And can I tell you all this? Remember that 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 reminds us that we got to walk by faith and not by sight. I know Mary and her sister, they expected Jesus to be on time, on their time. But instead, when he arrived late, he put it on public display, validating his deity. Oh, can't nobody do this like I can. Oh, Jesus, our Jesus, our Jesus, the Jesus we pray to, the Jesus we sing about, the Jesus we preach about, the Jesus we bow down to, was on a mission to help the people understand that he was their Messiah and he was sent by God. Jesus was about to demonstrate once again that even though it looked like he missed it, even though it looked like he messed up this time, that it looked like he abandoned his friends, that nothing could be further from the truth.
Amen.
Rick Warren, you all remember Rick Warren from Saddleback Church out in California? There's a lot of preaching and writing and all like that. Well, he tells us that God is the only source of hope that will never disappoint.
Amen.
And I'm glad about it.
Amen.
And then we hear from an anonymous writer that says, that reminds us not to think of the things we didn't get that we prayed for, but think of the countless blessings God gave us without even asking.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
To those of you in my hearing this morning, I want you to wrap your heads around the possibility that God might not stop the foreclosure. He might not cause your cancer to go into remission. He may not allow your favorite candidate to take office. But his goal is to show you his glory.
Amen.
His glory.
Yes.
Once you show him your faith.
Amen.
It might look like it's too late. It might look like it's too late. But it might be an indication that he intentionally delays his appearance, waiting on us to grow in our faith. Maybe, just maybe. The third and final A I'm going to give you is the awakening of Lazarus. This is amazing stuff here. When we get down to verses 43 and 44, here comes the monumental moment when Jesus calls Lazarus by name and Lazarus comes forth. Nobody saw that one coming. I wonder if anybody pulled up their cell phone, Brother Rico, and started recording that thing on video. See, that's the kind of stuff that ought to break the internet when things like that happen. But, you know, can I tell you that it is my understanding, and probably most of your understanding, that once you are dead, you're dead. No life, no movement, no hearing. So how is it that when Jesus calls him, he came forth? Scripture reveals that when Jesus called his name in verse 43, he came forth with his grave clothes on, walking out of the tomb. Now the word just says it simple and easy. And if you're not careful, if you're not discerning, if you're not dead on it, you might miss it, because it's simple, a simple description that says he got up out of the tomb when Jesus called his name. But can we take a minute to stop and think the impact that word "come out, Lazarus" had on the people who were watching? And the impact it ought to have on the 21st century saints. Why am I telling you this? Because that was an unexpected thing, once again, that Jesus did. Can I tell you, when God speaks, it usually produces something that needs to be unwrapped. Remember when Lazarus came out, he was still wrapped in the grave clothes that were on him when they put him in. And when Jesus gave the command, it was no secret that Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, was now resuscitated, resurrected, and was about to be released. I need somebody in the house this morning. Got a situation going on in your head, and you are looking for that same kind of response. You needed to be resuscitated. You needed to be resurrected. And you know you need to be released. I say glory. I want somebody to understand. I'm almost done. That God's words are powerful. They can heal, they can create, and they can restore. Jesus' words change both the things we can see and the things we cannot. I love it the way Isaiah 55 and 11 puts it. He says that this is the for us to be reminded. Shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth, that it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which it was sent, and that it shall prosper Come on, somebody in the house this morning. God has spoken to us on many occasions, and there's some things that he is trying to unwrap in our lives. I want somebody in the house to understand that when he sent that word out to you, it was not to come back unto him void, but it was going to do what he sent it to do. I'm wrapping up right now. We can look at our God to keep on doing those unexpected things. As a matter of fact, we ought to be excited to see what God will do next. I know we live in a world that's full of chaos, calamity, and all kinds of unrest. I know that things are looking upside down. They're looking inside out. But our God can still bring out a triple-A blessing on you. Don't you give up. Don't you give out. I want you to know that when you replay yourself walking to the tomb, that when you get there, just remember, it's a good chance that the stone is already going to be rolled away. Can I tell you that when you think that God is late, that he's abandoned you, that he won't go see about you, we got to acknowledge that his delay just might be intentional. You might not be ready for him to show up yet. You might need to grow your faith just a little bit more before he shows up on the scene. And my third thing is, got to remember, in the awakening of Lazarus, he might be shaking you and waking you up with his voice so that he can unwrap something in your life and you can go free, resuscitated, resurrected, and released from your grave clothes. Come on and give God a shout of praise in the house this morning for the things that God can do that are unexpected. We don't see it coming. Mary, Martha didn't see it coming. The people who were standing with them didn't see it coming. But God did it. He did it. He did it so that they can believe. It's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That we preach this word to this people on this day. God bless. God bless you.